Now I'm going to give you some examples of what I believe is the wrong kind of manipulation. There are some companies out there, and I would love to stand in front of their directors. There are some companies out there that are powerful, $100 billion companies that produce products like cigarettes. This isn't a reformed smoker. This is a business person that's talking to you. This is a person that has somewhat of an understanding of how people think. And you know what they do? They have this product that we all know will cause emphysema and lung cancer and all of these other things, shorten your lifespan. We know that. So here's this board of directors over here that have this product and they want to sell it to the world. Now, what do you think they're going to do? You think they're going to go on TV and tell you that, hey, buy our product, you're going to get emphysema? So what they do is things like this. The next time you see one of their ads, and I'll challenge anyone on this. Anyone in the tobacco industry, I would love to challenge them on this. Let me tell you what you're really seeing. You think that you're seeing a tobacco ad. Excuse me, you're not. Look really hard at that ad. You know what you're going to see? Mountains. You know what else you're going to see? Blue sky. You know what else you're going to see? A cowboy. You know what else you're going to see? A horse. You know what else you're going to see? All of the things in life that you would love to see are going to be in that ad, and none of them have anything to do with tobacco. Believe me when I tell you that. You see, most people work in these vertical buildings. Most people work downtown on the 15th floor somewhere, and they drive little cramped up automobiles back and forth to work on jammed freeways like the 605 here in Los Angeles. That's called the world. And you know what these people dream about? Is everything that's in that ad. You want to bet? They dream about open spaces. They really do. They really do. You know what else you see when you look at that ad? Not only do you see open space, but you see freedom. You know what else you see when you see that ad? You always see virility and youth. Not sometimes, every single time. I've never seen an ad with a 65-year-old cowboy. They're always young, virile-looking guys. You know what else you see when you see that ad? A horse. They're called the sport of kings. They represent power. So when you see that ad, what you're really seeing are all of these emotional triggers just being pulled like clockwork. You're seeing power, you're seeing freedom, you're seeing control, you're seeing virility, you're seeing youth. Everything that everyone would love to have for the rest of their eternal life is in that one ad. And you know what? When you look at that ad over and over and over and over and over again, driving back and forth to work, you know what? It starts to register in your mind. And then all of a sudden you walk into this convenience store, you're standing there paying for your fuel, and I'll be the first to tell you the last thing in the world you're going to think about is emphysema or lung cancer. And your hand will just reach out and grab that pack. You're really not going for the cigarettes, you're going for everything that you've been programmed to believe is associated with that product. That's not great marketing, that's unbelievable marketing genius. But from my point of view, from an ethic point of view, there's a difference in legal and illegal, and there's a difference in right and wrong. What they're doing, yeah, it may very well be legal, but you know what? My mom would have said it's ethically flawed. It's very wrong. Because what they're doing is manipulating people to get one thing from you, your money. Period. Now, I'm not saying that as an anti-smoking crusader. I want to be real clear here, folks. I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. That are you manipulating people? Yeah, you bet. You're helping them make a decision that's a very difficult decision. That's what you're doing. And if the intent inside of your heart is to help people, if your intent is to persuade this guy to bring his car in so you could look at it, nothing more, and then empower him with information so he can make whatever decision he wants to make, then that's wonderful. I hope you all can agree with that. So the next time somebody looks at you and says, excuse me, you following a script in your service center? Smile and say, yes, sir, I am. Why would you follow a script? Tell them the truth. There's a lot of important questions that we have to ask people when they call our service center, and we don't want to miss any of them. It wouldn't be the right way to treat people. Hey, take a look at your watch. See you back in 10 minutes. Okay, folks, we're all ready for the final round here. One of the things that we believe in is the 80-20 rule, Pareto's law. You have to be very careful that you don't spend too much time working on things that aren't important. So what we want to do is make sure that by the time you walk out those doors, that you really understand the value of using a telephone procedure. Most of the sales objections that you have come into your life, you allow to come into your life. And the way you allow them to come into your life is by not following a sales procedure. We in the mirror are our own worst enemies. We really are. So if I can get you guys and gals to just start implementing a sales procedure, a telephone procedure when you pick up the phone, watch how more effective you're going to be in sales. So with that said, let's take a look at the screen up here. The next step is to identify the solutions, build value, and ask for the business. So you would say in this case, Keith, based on what you just told me, you may not need a complete brake job. What I'd suggest you do is bring your vehicle in so we can perform our 21-point inspection. It's the first part of any service. It'll only take about 30 minutes. And it's no charge. No charge, not free. No charge, not free. Is there a time you want to use the word free? Yep. Typically, what I ask that you do is use the word no charge. No charge means there's a value to it that's being waived. Free means not worth anything. Worthless. So, and it's no charge. As soon as we're finished, we'll be able to give you a written estimate for anything that needs to be done, and I'll explain all of your options to you. People love to hear about options. Here comes tonality again. I can squeeze you in now, or I can get you in at 2 o'clock. Which would you prefer? And then close your mouth and wait for the customer to answer. That's all that you need to do. So what we're going to do is take it from the top one more time. One of the things that we're not going to do, so we could cover all the important points that we need to cover here. What we're not going to do is do any role play on the last component, which is where you do nothing more than resell and reconfirm the customer's phone number, reconfirm the correct spelling of their last name. We don't need to go through that exercise. So if you all would break into your groups again, take it all the way from the top, and please stay disciplined, stay focused, because we're only going to do this for about 7 minutes, 8 minutes, and then we're going to move on to the next task. If I could have your attention just for a moment. Okay, somebody put up their hand and let me know what you learned from that exercise. And whatever the answer is, please don't allow it to be about football. All right?
Options.
Pardon me?
Options.
Options, important?
Very.
Eddie says you have to have options. The more often you do it, the
easier.
Do you agree to that? Yeah, repetition, repetition, repetition will allow you to improve any skill that you have. Great technicians are great technicians because they do it all of the time. You know that. Great lawyers, great doctors, great salespeople, without a question. Yes, sir?
People who do phone work don't like change. They don't like to change their old ways and habits. So when you get a phone script, it's very uncomfortable for people to in the business. You know what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say? You can get to your people to use scripts or this type of phone number in your final sales, inspection type sales, things like that. You always be resistant because you can feel that uncomfortable feeling of starting out and doing this.
I think that's true, though, of any procedures you put
sure.
in place. Just
Definitely.
To give them a dual procedure for Lou.
Or creatures will have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your technicians will hammer it.
Uh-huh. But changing, you know, reading through a script makes you remind you of how much creature they have we are.
Yeah. Especially when you hear somebody do it real well, like Jeremy did.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear somebody do it that well, can you realize how bad you do it, you know?
How not as well you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
What do you do on the other side of the phone when you know it sounds like a script?
Yeah.
It sounds like they're reading off something.
That's not a good question. That's a great question. Tom Hanks does it every time he gets on a big screen. Every time you see a great actor, not a good actor, can't you just put yourself into that role? I mean, you can't argue the point that if you go and see Forrest Gump, as we say, you can't argue the point that that was a script, right? So how did he have it become him? How did he do that?
Rehearse.
Right, over and over and over again. It's like anything in life. So before we move forward, the thing that we need to be really clear on, let's make sure that we're all on the same page as we say here. I agree that most people fight change. But I also know this earth spins 4,000 miles an hour. And if you stand still, you're going to get ran over. You don't have to change. The world will change you for you. You all know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
So you need to either say, I'm going to be a winner or I'm going to be a casualty of business. The only difference in war and business, from my point of view, is war has an end. Business doesn't. Business is battle every single day that you wake up until the day you go out of business or the day you die. It's always a battle. It's always change. It's always evolution. The companies that were the companies 10 years ago are not the same companies today. No one could argue that point. Look at Microsoft. Look how that company is changing. You pick the great companies and I'll show you the great change. They still understand the importance of customers, but they understand that the world evolves and they have to evolve too. There's an argument that says all the great rail companies, all the railroads that are now gone, they would still be in business today if they understood one principle of business. They were never in a railroad business. They were in a transportation business. They never realized that. If they would have accepted that merit, then they could have changed and evolved, right? So you don't have to apply this to your business. You don't have to have your technicians or anyone working with you apply this to your business. You don't have to change. What I am going to suggest to you is if you do apply this to your business, you will see a remarkable change in your business. Now, a lot of guys and gals say, well, I can't get my guys to do it. That's not true. You may recoin that to say, I don't want to pay the price that I need to pay to get them to change. It's real easy to do. People say, well, Bob, I've tried and I can't get my guys to answer the phone correctly and smile. Wait a minute. If you had a guy that came in and was doing drugs, would you tolerate that? If you had a guy that was drinking on a job, would you tolerate that? Or would you say, au revoir, you're out of here? And if that's what you would do, if you would let him or her go, why wouldn't you do the same thing with anybody that violates a principle of a customer? You can't argue the point that one of the easiest ways to damage your business is over the telephone. You can't argue that point. You could do more damage over the telephone, from my point of view, when it comes to building relationships with customers, than any other way, because it's what we call first impressions. And if you don't make a great first impression, you're not going to build a great customer base. So when guys or gals say, well, I can't get my guys to answer the phone, Bob, they just won't do it. Well, if they're not willing to rise to the occasion and change along with you and evolve in your company, then get them out of your company. Well, Bob, I can't really do that. I can't find great technicians or great. Yes, you can. Oh, Bob, they're not out there. Yes, they are. What you need to do is change in the way that you recruit people. There are stars out there. You know that as well as I do. You need to get them working on your team. So give everyone that works with you, not for you, everyone that works with you the opportunity to change. If they're not willing to rise to the occasion, then you need to replace those people. Now, with that said, you have two procedures that we passed out to you. One is called track one and track two. I pass them out at the heads of these tables. All of you sitting at this end, take a look. If you've already received a stack, make sure that they go down this way. And everyone should have one of each of those documents. Track one is a telephone procedure that really will work very well in persuading customers to see the value of doing business with you. Track two is a track that we put together, a telephone procedure, that's designed for all of what we're going to call the secondary support people. I mean, there's nothing worse than having an auto service center where you have a guy or a gal that's really gifted at what they do, but if they don't pick up the phone, somebody else answers the phone that is clueless as to how to answer the phone. That's wrong. So you need to make sure that the guys or gals that are your backup people, your second stringers, you need to make sure that they don't necessarily have all the gifts and the skills that your frontline people have, but they need to know how to answer the phone. I didn't say how to persuade customers to bring their cars in. I said they need to know how to answer the phone. They need to know that they need to smile. They need to properly introduce themselves in the name of the company. They need to say, well, he's not available to take your call right now. He's with another customer. Would you like to leave your number and have him return a call, or would you like to hold? They need to be able to say that. All of that's on track two. So what I'm going to ask that you do is this. I'm going to ask that you take this information, track one and track two, and make photocopies of it. Put it in a pad form, gummed at the top, where you could write on it and tear off a sheet, and then have one color, maybe white or whatever, or yellow, for your service writers, and then have the other pad on a different color, like yellow, for everyone else that works in your company. And then that way, when a backup guy or gal takes a phone call for you, they'll just make all the notes that they need to make, tear off the sheet, and hand it to you. Can you all do that? All right, well then don't get analysis paralysis. There's some things in life that you need to think about. There's some things in life you don't need to think about. If you spend time thinking about them, you're wasting your time. This stuff works. Apply it to your business. Moving forward on to some sales objections that you guys and gals often hear, and let's take a little bit of time to cover some of those before we go on the last page and wrap up this course. Oh, there's a number of very common objections that you hear. And again, I want to be really clear here. Most of the sales objections we're bringing into our own life by not following a telephone procedure. If you follow a telephone procedure, watch how your objections start to disappear. If you do things like we ask you to do, take control of the conversation, ask questions, offer alternative choices for appointment times, build interest and value, watch how the objections go away. But of course, you're still going to have these persistent people. So let's talk about some of the challenges that no matter what you do, you're still going to run into. Number one, you're going to have the guy or the gal that's already had their car diagnosed somewhere else. Now, please, keep an open mind. You don't have to agree with this. Just keep an open mind. What all great detectives do? All right, so if anyone ever tells you that they've already had their car diagnosed, the first thing that you need to do in the back of your mind is come to the conclusion that you need to know who did the diagnosis. And the reason that you need to do that is if you find out that it's Bob across town that did the diagnosis, and if you know Bob has a good reputation in the industry, then I hope that you're going to do everything in your power to persuade the customer to go back to Bob. Because that's good for the customer, and it's good for Bob. And it's good for the industry, and it will come back to you, too. Because if Bob, for whatever reason, just isn't able to make things work or drops the ball, the customer will always remember you because you didn't just come after them for the sale. So it's a very important cardinal rule that whenever a customer tells you they're just shopping around for a price, they already had their car looked at somewhere else, the first premise that you need to remember is they're not shopping for price. They were never sold. They're not shopping for price, they were never sold. The other guy or the other gal at the other service center never did what they needed to do to follow a sales cycle to build interest and value to get the customer to buy. Period. That's a promise. Keith, do you have a minute?
Yep.
You told me that you were looking at overhead projectors.
Uh-huh.
And this is one, and you could interrupt me anytime that you'd like and ask for the price if you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
I know that projectors like this sell for an average of anywhere from $300 to $500. That's what they sell for, $300 to $500. Well, Keith, based on what you told me, it looks like I found the perfect projector, and here it is.
Right?
Terrific little machine, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks nice.
Let me tell you a little bit about this machine and how it can help you reach your goals.
Well,
this particular machine, it's only $800, but man, it's a terrific machine. Let me tell you, what's already happened to him? Pardon me? He's decided to not buy it. He's now made a decision that Cooper's out of his mind. I could buy those things for $300 to $500 all over town. Now he is tuned me out, and what he's tuning in is all of his other options. So I've lost credibility with him. Oh man, that guy's trying to overcharge me. This is the wrong place. This is the wrong guy. Where else am I going to go? So let's back up again, all right, just for a moment. Keith, based on everything that you told me, it sounds like this is the perfect projector for you.
Is that right?
Yeah, it really is. And let me tell you why. I remember when you came in this morning, you told me you do a lot of traveling. Is that right?
That's correct, yes. Uh-huh.
So you need something that's portable.
Uh-huh.
You need something that's light that you could carry underneath your arm as you're running through airports.
Right, yeah.
I thought you would probably be best served if you had something that could fold up and be collapsible where you could put it up in the overhead compartment over the seat. That way you're not checking it as baggage.
Right.
Less chance of getting lost, huh?
Right, yes, uh-huh.
Sound like your kind of piece?
Yeah,
so
how much is it?
Well, that's the best news. I'll get to that in just a moment. Yes, that's the best thing, and that's what you want to tell a customer. If you're not offering them options and services, whenever they interject and ask you how much a price is, tell them that's the best part. I'll get to that in just a moment. For whatever reason, it just puts them at ease. So then move forward a little bit further. Now, Keith, there's something else that's really important that I need to show you. Can you come over here a minute?
Yeah.
Take a look at this. I want you to pop this straight up.
Uh-huh.
Look. Now here, watch. I got this bag of sand.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Watch. Pouring it in
Ooh,
there.
Ooh, we're pouring sand in there?
Yeah, I know. Watch. Watch.
I don't know.
Press this button right here.
This one?
Press it. Uh-huh. Okay, now watch down there.
Hey, what's coming out of the bottom of that projector?
Why don't you take a good hard look and tell me?
Hey, are those diamonds? You got diamonds coming out of the bottom of that thing.
Yeah, I know.
This thing makes diamonds. You just pour sand in it and it makes diamonds.
Can I buy one?
Yeah.
What's that, Keith?
You just pour sand in it and it makes diamonds all day long.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh.
Yeah, I know. Amazing, huh?
Okay, I'll take it.
I wish that I could sell it to you. My wife would shoot me if I didn't take that machine home. What am I building? Interest and value. All of a sudden, price is a non-issue. Do you agree with me? The guy that had the customer, whereas the customer is now calling you, he never showed them the diamonds. Somehow or rather, he dropped the ball. Somehow or rather, that customer lost faith. He saw something, he heard something, there was something that was wrong. Do you agree or disagree? Somewhere along the line, he dropped the ball. So the fact that the guy's calling you and says, I'm looking for a price, I've already had it inspected. Nah, maybe somebody looked at it. Maybe somebody did inspect it, but somebody didn't sell him. So rule number one, anytime anybody ever tells you that they are inspected, you have an ethical responsibility to find out why they didn't have it repaired. And if it's nothing other than price, and if you ask them, what did you feel? Comfortable with them? Did they say anything that made you feel uncomfortable? Oh, no, no, they seem like decent people, and, you know, I've talked to some other people that have been there and had their car serviced, and I saw the parts, then chase them back down there. Would you do that for me? And tell them, you need to go back down there and get your car fixed because they really do good service. Now, on the other hand, if you know in the bottom of your heart they were at a place that was the wrong place, and you all know what that means, don't you? All right? You know that there's a lot of guys and gals out there that aren't doing the right things for the right reasons. And if you know that they have their car or still have their car there, what you need to do then is do everything in your power to show the customer the benefit of doing what you do when you have medical conditions, which is go to two different doctors for two different estimates, right? Well, based on what you told me, Jerry, it sounds like you might be talking about a good amount of money. And if that's the case, I think you owe it to yourself to have at least a couple professionals take a look at the automobile before you make any decisions. You know, for your benefit, there's no charge for the estimate. It's free. So the most that we're talking about is your time to bring it in. Now, I can get you in now, or I can get you in at 2 o'clock. So what we're going to ask that you do is next time a customer tells you that they've already had it looked at, be a great detective, find out who looked at it. If it was a good guy, get them back there. If it's not a good guy, recommend to them that they bring it in for a second estimate. That way they'll have the peace of mind of being able to compare the estimates together. The other thing that we know that you're going to run into is a persistent, they're going to beat you over the head price shopper. Well, all that I want is a price, Keith. I mean, come on. You know, I'm just looking for a number, Keith. You've met him, haven't you? Or her, correct? Okay, this one, now I'm going to ask that you don't use this verbatim. Because if you use this word for word like I'm going to use it with you, then it's going to have a flaw in it. Because what I'm about to tell you is, in essence, a true story that came from me, not from you. So you need to find a story in your life that sort of fits this mold, and then you need to share it with the customer. Keith, can you be a customer for a moment?
Uh-huh.
Keith tells me, well, all that he's interested in is price. If I was in your position, you know, I'd probably feel the same way. You know, my daughter called, as a matter of fact, from Phoenix about a week ago, and she had a problem with her automobile. And she said, Dad, will you talk to the people over here? And I said, yeah, go ahead and put them on the phone. The first question that I asked the service writer is, how long have you been in business? Because I wanted to make sure that who was ever working on my daughter's car had withstood the test of time. The second question that I asked him is, do you employ ASC certified technicians? Because if they would have answered no to that, then there wouldn't have been anything else that we were going to talk about. The third question that I asked him was, do you have a drug-free workplace program in your business? Because I wanted to make sure that whoever's working on my daughter's car wasn't as high as a kite. The fourth question that I asked him was, tell me about the diagnostic procedures you used on my daughter's car. Walk me through it step by step. And the fifth question that I asked him was, tell me about my options and the warranties that are available on those services, because I know every ethical auto repair business looks to offer customers options. Now, price, was that important to me? Of course it's important to me, Keith. But I have to tell you, if I wouldn't have got the answers that I was looking for those first five questions, then any price at all that they would have given me would have been too much money. Now, by now, you're probably wondering how long we've been in business, and I'm thrilled to tell you, here at Elite Auto Repair, we've been serving San Diego for 22 years. If you're wondering about our technicians, we're honored to tell you that we have ASC-certified technicians, and what that means is we're going to diagnose the car right the first time, and that'll save you time and it'll save you money. And of course, I'm thrilled to tell you that we're proud to be a part of the community and have a drug-free workplace program in place. And what I'm really am recommending that you do at this point is bring the car in so we could do a professional diagnosis on it for you. And then as soon as we're done, I'll sit down with you. You all know where I'm going with this, don't you? Now, you're probably wondering, well, Cooper, that's not going to work on every customer. You know what? You're right. You know what? You're right. It won't. There is no such thing that will. But you know what it will do? The people that are your customers, it will sell them on you. Now, does that mean that Keith is going to say, well, I'm going to scoot right down there and see you? Nope. But you know what it will mean? And I can tell you this from firsthand experience. When this guy gets off the phone with me, if he doesn't make an appointment to bring his car in, what do you think he's going to do when he calls that next auto service center? What questions do you think he's going to ask them? He's going to ask them the questions that I suggested to him. And I'm going to make you another promise. If he doesn't like what he hears, if he hears any flags go up, or if he goes there and he doesn't like what he sees, he's going to scoot over to my place. Now, the reason that I'm asking you to do that, and as one sales professional to a room full of other sales professionals, you need to understand that when you're selling, it comes from your heart. It has nothing to do with dollars and cents. You need to understand that you need to treat your customers just like you would your family members. And I'll be the first to tell you, if my daughter calls me from out of town and gets me on the phone and says, I got a problem with my car or my stereo or whatever it is, can you help? Those are the kind of questions that I'm going to ask the repairman. Wouldn't you ask those questions? So what I'm doing is I'm educating the caller. I'm letting the caller know, hey, forget fixing your automobile. I'm going to help you understand how to choose an auto service center. Now, if you rehearse that over and over and over again, and if you find something out of your life, a true story that you can use in that kind of an analogy, do you understand what I'm talking about? Then what you need to do is use it in your business and watch how it'll start to change your business. So the persistent price shopper, that guy or gal, he's afraid. That's what's going on. He's afraid. He doesn't know how to choose an auto service center, so he's asking for price. And what you need to do is help him understand that there's a lot of things other than price that you need to choose from. With that said, one of the other things that I'm going to ask that you do with what we'll call the tough callers, and I know that this will give some of you some gray hairs, keep an open mind. We're a company that believes that when you build any company, you need to understand the big picture, not the little picture. One of the things that I'm going to hope that you'll never ever do in business is lose valuable first-time callers over simple services like oil services. From my point of view, that's a sin. I've met thousands, if not tens of thousands of shop owners that have told me in a very pompous tone, Bob, we do a great job at where we work. I mean, we're not going to give away our oil services. I mean, we hire ASE Master Certified Technicians. We hire the best of the best. We're not like these grease monkeys down the street. We charge $39.95 for an oil service, but we do it right the first time. Terrific. What are you going to tell your customers? Well, we tell them that we employ certified technicians and we don't have 16-year-old kids changing oil and screwing off drain plugs and rounding them off. Well, wait a minute. If you're going to tell, I'm thinking out loud, if you're going to tell your customers that you could do just as good of a job, plus more of a job, for $39.95 than they're doing at the fast lube for $19.95, good luck and God bless you, because I don't want that job. You see, I think the big oil lube, fast lube companies have done a remarkable job of marketing their companies. They really have. And there's a lot of people out there that go to them, and I don't want to hear about their weaknesses or their flaws. What I'm clearly telling you is America believes that you can go to a fast lube and get an oil service for $20. You can't argue that point. America has accepted that. So if you're going to tell America customers that your oil services are $40, you're not only telling them that you're a lot higher on oil services, but you're sending them a very strong message that you're more than likely a lot higher on a lot of other things at the same time. Now, when customers are looking for somebody to take care of their needs on their automobile, how do you think they're going to test you? If any of you have auto service centers in Irvine, and if I'm new to the community, if I just moved up here, how do you think I'm going to come in? You think I'm going to come in and say, hey, I got a problem with the head gasket. I'd like you to fix it. I want to find out how good you are. That isn't going to happen. So what oil services do, they allow people to come in and find out who you are and what you're all about. So people that say, well, Bob, I can't do low-price oil services or competitively priced oil services because every time I do, they all come in and all that they buy is the oil service and they leave. Excuse me, that's not a fault with the customer. That's a fault with our sales skills. We're not doing the right things for the right reasons to help those people make those decisions. A great example, not a good example, and I know those of you that have been on our membership program for a while, I know that you've heard this before, but I hope that you understand it. If you go to the great company of Walmart, which is now the world's leading retailer, by the way, the world's leading retailer is Walmart. If you go to any of their stores where they do these oil services, they're not doing that with the intent of getting you as a customer into their Walmart store to buy their product. Many people think that that's why they're doing it. That's not why. Watch, I'm going to do a quick role play. Here's three gentlemen up front. And these three folks, you own Kmart, you own Costco or Price Company, and you own Walmart. You're all mass merchandisers in a retail business. You all sell comparable products at comparable prices. Now, one of the things that Tom knows at Walmart is how is he going to get the Kmart and the Price Costco customer into his store? Not going to be easy. So what Tom does is an end around in marketing. Hey, Keith, why don't you come in for an oil service? It's only $10.99. He's not even in the oil service business. You know what he is in? He's in a retail business. And what'll happen is Keith is going to say, well, you know I'm due for an oil service. And instead of going over here to the normal auto repair business that I normally go to, it'd be a lot more convenient on the weekend instead of making the appointment to pop in over here and get my oil service, and it's only $10 or $11. Understand he's not driven by the price, he's driven by the convenience at this point. So now he goes in, drops his car off with Tom, and Tom says, Keith, you know it's only going to take about 30 minutes to go ahead and get your oil service. If you'd like to go next door and do some shopping, we'll have you wrapped up by 4:30. Now look. In the real world, the great people at Walmart know that as soon as Keith walks into Walmart, they don't have to sell him anything because they understand the sales cycle. What they now have is Keith inside of a Walmart for 30 minutes. Think about that. They have him inside of a Walmart for 30 minutes. And you know what he's going to do during those 30 minutes? He's going to walk up and down the aisles and go, oh, look, they got this. Oh, look, they got that. Oh, they don't have that at Kmart. Oh, they got that in a bigger size than they do at Costco. And if they do a good job in that 30 minutes, not selling him any product, but selling him on Walmart. If they do a good job, then I'm going to make you another promise. He'll be back. And when he comes back to Walmart, you know what he's going to bring with him? His family and his Visa card. So that's called marketing. Now, some people would say, well, Walmart, you know, they're going to lose money in oil services. No, they're not. They see the grand picture. So my argument in the auto service business is don't be timid on being competitive with oil services. They're great marketing opportunities for you to meet people. They really are. They really are. The same is true with 30K services. We see shops, I don't know why so many auto service centers are reluctant to be competitive, I mean really competitive, to the point of a loss leader on 30K services. Keith buys a brand new automobile. He goes out and buys a brand new Toyota. And he loves the automobile. Now he's a dealership customer. Now he's not coming to Elite Auto Repair. Now, I would love to have him as a customer, but you know what? The first shot that I'm going to get at him, the first shot is at the 30K mark. You all know that as well as I do. That's the first time he's even going to think about coming out of the dealership network. You know that. So now he's going to have 29,000 miles on his car. He's due for his 30K service, and you know what he's going to do? He's going to call Bob over here. And you know, Bob's got a lot of great phone skills, great business, and all of those kind of things. And he's going to call my business, and we're comparable, but there's a difference. He is a little bit more competitive on price. I'm not saying sell price. I'm saying be competitive. He's a little bit more competitive on price for the 30K service. Now his eyes get big and he goes, wow, you know, I could go to Bob and that sounds like a really good price. And Bob sounded like a professional. And gee, I'm impressed with him. So now he goes in for the 30K service and what Bob understands is the grand picture. What you understand is that 30K, what else is the customer going to need?
At least fronts.
So he's going to need brakes. What else is he going to need at 30K?
Flush a cooling system.
Now, what does Keith also have at home in his garage?
Another Toyota, another automobile.
And where Keith works, he has friends, doesn't he? Do you understand what I'm saying? So people that say, oh, Bob, you can't lose money on 30Ks, you're not losing money. You're looking at the big picture, aren't you? What you're doing is creating customers. I didn't say give away your products or services. I said be very competitive in pricing on areas where you need to be competitive. From my point of view, LOFs is one of them. Your LOFs need to be competitive. Number two, 30K services need to be competitive. They're great opportunities for you to meet people. They really are. Now, if you take our suggestion on this, I'm not asking you to go upside down with your business. I'm asking you to grow your company. Understand when that customer comes in for that 30K service, understand when a customer comes in for that oil services, then you're on stage. Understand that. Understand when that first-time customer comes in, that customer is sizing you up. And they're going to make a decision at that point as to whether or not they're going to come back again. And there's a lot of things that you can do with that first-time customer. Number one, the first thing that I'm going to ask you to do, and this isn't a stretch, the first thing that I'm going to ask that you do to any first-time customer is find out if they're new to the community. And if they are, offer them information on the community. Let them know if they have any questions about shopping centers or malls or trains or whatever it is, that you'll be more than happy to help them out. Bond with them, as we say. Develop a relationship with these people. And don't look at it like, gee, how much money is this guy going to spend on his automobile? Look at it like, gee, what kind of relationship can I build with this customer? And if that customer senses that that's what you really care about, him, then watch what happens to your business. It's amazing how it works. Let me share some thoughts with you that will wrap all of this up. The guy or gal that calls you, that asks for a price right out of the get-go, they're not interested in price. They're looking for somebody to help them, and they don't know how to get from here to there. If they're that persistent, if that difficult on the phone, invite them to your business, please. Ask them if they've ever been in before. If they say no, invite them down. Offer them the opportunity to receive something in the mail from you. Tell them, if you'd like, Larry, I'd be more than happy to drop some literature in the mail to you on our company. Sounds to me like the first thing you need to do is find a company that you feel comfortable with, and I believe would meet your expectations. Would you like me to drop some material in the mail to you? 99% of them will say yes. It's amazing. Now, I hope you understand that what Larry's now realizing is the fact that I'm willing to mail information to you shows that I care about you, Larry. That'll read right through the phone lines. It really will. When you have a guy or gal that's a little sensitive about bringing their car into you, understand their apprehensions. Offer them the opportunity to come in and take a tour of your facility. Offer them the opportunity to receive some material in the mail from you. And if they're still persistent in price, help them understand how to choose an auto service center. So what I'm asking you to do is this. Number one, I'm asking you to put a sales cycle by every phone that you have. Little card somewhere. And when you pick up that phone, use that as your coach. And every call that you lose on the phone, every single call, you'll be able to look at that. That's where I lost it. I didn't build interest and value. That's where I lost it. I didn't ask for the business. I didn't identify the need. That's where I lost it. Use that as your coach. Number two, I'm also going to ask that you do this. Next to the phone, wherever you answer the phone, wherever you do most of your work, have a little card or some little piece of paper that has the questions that you would tell your daughter to ask a service center if she had a problem with her car out of town. And share that information with people. You've heard this before. I'm just calling around for my husband. I know that you've heard that. Well, wait a minute. What are you going to do? I hope that what you're going to do is think out of the box. I hope you're going to think, well, wait a minute. If Dorothy is calling around for her husband, if she doesn't have the car that she could bring in today, then what I need to do is really an easy job. I need to turn her into a salesperson. Forget her car. I didn't say anything about that. I need to sell her so she could sell her husband at night. Right? On us. Do you agree? Sell her husband on the light. You like that? Huh?
He's on the couch.
He's gone. He's out of here. So she could sell her husband on our company at night. So how do you do that? Same way. Dorothy says, well, I'm calling around. I'm just trying to get some prices for my husband today. We're having a little bit of a problem with the automobile. Well, Dorothy, you know, I'd be more than happy to try to help you with prices, but my gosh, if you call 15 different shops, you're going to get 15 different prices. Do you have a pencil handy, Dorothy? Always ask that question. Let me tell you the things that you need to ask these shops when you call around today. Really important questions, Dorothy. First of all, ask them how long they've been in business. And then go right down the list that I went down earlier. And she's going to go, oh, yeah, that's a good question. Oh, I never thought of that. Oh, that's a good one. And you know what I'm doing then, don't you? Right. And then Dorothy's going to say, oh, thanks for all your help, Bob. That was awfully nice of you to do that. And then she's going to hang up the phone. And then her husband's going to come home at night and say, what did you find, honey? And she's going to say, well, I called different. I think you need to go to Elite Auto Repair. And he's going to say, well, who had the best price? And she's going to say, well, Low Life over here had the best price, honey. But you really need to go to Elite Auto Repair because that guy was really helpful. Now, I hope that you understand if she can't convince her husband to bring the car to Elite Auto Repair, that's okay. You know why? And anyone that's in this room that's married could appreciate this. Because if Bob says, no, Dorothy, we're going to Low Life and things make a left turn on you. Welcome to the real world, Bob. And I'm not saying that it's easy, but you know, we need to stay on a timeline here. There's a couple important things that you need to take out of this course. Number one, you can't be everything to everybody. And you know what your industry does? You get a lot of gray hairs worrying about just a very few people that come into your service centers. You really do. You let a lot of these people suck you through the telephone line, as we say, and step all over you. You let these people make your life miserable. What I'm asking you to do is don't be as concerned about those people. Be more concerned about the people that are the kind of people that you're looking for as customers. So you're not going to get everybody in. You're not going to persuade all of the guys or gals to see value in doing business with you. But the ones that you're really looking for will see value in who you are and what you're doing. Hey, if you would be so kind as to turn to the last page, we got to stay on a timeline here or we're going to get in really big trouble. By the way, in the morning we'll do a little bit of a review of this anyway. So if any questions pop up tonight, we'll be more than happy to help you with them tomorrow. Keith, help me out here. On page 7, it says, number 1, if we have the right objectives, it will always show through. Do you think that's true?
Absolutely. Sell from the heart, and it'll show through. You'll get much further with your sales process. If you just be yourself and treat people like you treat your children, treat like your friends, let that emotion show through, and watch what happens.
Do y'all agree with him? All right. Number 2, you can never forget that all great salespeople use the sales cycle. They ask questions, and they... Do you agree with that, Keith?
Yes, they listen intently.
What all great detectives do? Absolutely, and then they listen intently. Keith, what's number 3? Help me with that.
Only one person will control the conversation, and they will do it through the proper use of questions. Absolutely. You've got to ask those questions. And the more you learn how to ask questions, the easier your life will become in communicating.
Ask questions. And that's something that's a skill that you have to develop. You have to work at it. You really do. You got to consciously work at asking questions of people. Watch how it'll change your life as a salesperson. Number 4, Keith.
It's unfair to our customers, our business, and our industry to prejudge or pre-qualify any individual.
Do y'all agree to that? Okay, do me a favor, would you please? Somewhere in your workbook, make a note of this. Where it says prejudge, draw a little arrow down from it and write won't. Where it says pre-qualify, draw a little arrow down from that and write can't. There's a difference in the two. Prejudge is, oh, this guy's not going to pay to have this car fixed. Pre-qualified, this guy can't afford to have this car fixed. Never, ever, 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 ever do that. Where's the gentleman from Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio? When I was in Cleveland, Madison Avenue, transmission shop, first one that I ever owned was there. And I remember a lady that came into my shop that was about this tall. And I remember that lady looking at me, and she was in her 70s. And this car needed a fortune spent on it. And I looked at her and I says, Miss, this car really isn't worth fixing. And she looked at me and her eyes started to tear up. And she said, how dare you tell me that? This is the last car that my husband bought for me before he died. Taught me a valuable lesson in life. We're going to cover that tomorrow in great detail, how to deal with those kind of sales objections. The point that I'm trying to make, never prejudge, never pre-qualify. It's not our responsibility. We don't have the authority to do that. It's his automobile, not yours. It's his money, not yours. Can you give an opinion, a financial opinion? Of course you can, and you know what? You should. But you should never draw a conclusion as to whether or not a customer should fix their automobile. Oh, it's important because people have emotional ties to automobiles. The last one on the page, it says, in order for the caller to accept our offer, they must see the...
Value.
If they don't see the value, and value is a word that you have to have in your sales vocabulary today. So, here's the next step that you guys and gals need to take. There's a number of things that I'm going to ask that you do. Our objective is to help you become more successful. Number 1, implement a policy, telephone procedure policy in your business now. Don't think about it. Don't get analysis paralysis. Go back to work and say, this is what we're going to do. And yes, it's called change. Yes, we're asking you to do something different than you've done in the past. And yes, it will bring a positive result to your company. Practice, 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 and don't practice on your customers. You wouldn't want anybody practicing on your children or on your spouses, would you? So what I'm asking you to do is practice on one another. How do you do that? Those of you that are service writers, what you need to do is make sure that you're working with an owner that understands a sales procedure. And then what you need to do is walk up to the owner twice a day. You need to walk up to the owner and you need to say this. Boss, do you have a minute?
Yeah, Bob.
We completed the inspection on your car, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to go over the results with you and do a sales presentation to him. It's called practicing. It's important. It's a part of success. So what you need to do is practice on the people that could best coach you. We're also going to ask that you do this. Don't allow the callers to dictate your policies. Don't allow them to tell you how you're going to operate your business. It's up to you to make those decisions. Don't let a customer twist you inside out. And you know that those guys and gals are out there, so don't allow them to do that. Never, ever, 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 ever stop looking for ways to improve. The better you get, the better you can get. You know that as well as I do. So the next step that you need to take, sort of like the leap, sort of like what are you going to do next, I would like to leave you with a thought. And it's this. I know that everything that we covered here today in this telephone procedure could be very difficult to implement in your life. I know that. And I would never expect any of you to take this procedure back and put it into place and go, okay, 3 days later, I got it up and running, the guy answers the phone, and I sound just like Jeremy O'Neill and just spiel it out. You know what? In the real world, that ain't going to happen. What you need to do is this. You need to make a conscious point in your life where you're going to go back to work, and you're going to make sure at your first employee meeting, which will be next week, that everyone, not some people, everyone knows from this day forward when they pick up that phone, they smile. And if they tell you they can't do that, you better show them the exit door because they'll put you out of business. They need to smile. That's all. Now, I know everyone in this room has the ability to smile. I know that. You've already proven that throughout this day. So number one, when you go back to work, don't try to do all of this at once. Just start by smiling when you pick up the phone, properly introducing yourself, taking a couple deep breaths, and take notes on what the callers say. Now, is that a learning mechanism? You bet it is. Any of you that have ever watched any kind of fighting, any kind of professional fighting, you all know how these fighters function. You know what they do. When a left hook comes across, the other opponent is automatically deflecting it, and he's counterpunching, isn't he? No one in this room could tell me that that opponent knows how to do that consciously. What they have developed is what they call muscle memory. Muscle memory is, as soon as my eyesight realizes the left is coming at me, I send up this defense and I counter with the other punch. All great athletes depend on a skill that's called muscle memory. Now, what you need to do is you need to incorporate muscle memory into here. Any of you that have been in the military, I hope that you understand that the United States government does a remarkable job at teaching muscle memory up here. Look, I'll give you an example. Number one, all of you when you were children, your mothers more than likely instilled a virtue in you that it's not right to take the lives of other people. That's sort of a give-in. But we also know this. When the U.S. goes to war, you know what they need to do? They need to bring in a lot of young guys and a lot of young gals. And you know what they need to do? Within 90 to 120 days, they need to teach these children how to take lives of other people. Now, that's a far leap from my point of view. And the way they do it is really a pretty simple process. What they do is they take the young guys and the young gals in the military, number one, and then they'll put up what they call a target. Now, you'd like to think a target looks like a bullseye, wouldn't you? And that's what your mom probably taught you. And when you were little guys, that's what you remembered as targets, was bullseye. Nothing that looked like a Coke bottle. But what they'll do is they'll put up a target that looks like a Coke bottle in the military. Tom, welcome to the military. Look, we're out on a rifle range, and I know that you're going to do a great job. You know what we'd like you to do? We'd like you to take a couple rounds of these clips. We'd like you to put them in a rifle and see that target down there. It looks like a milk bottle. We'd like you to squeeze rounds into that target over and over and over and over again. Now, what he thinks he's doing is becoming a marksman. Tom, with all due respect, that's not what they're doing to you. What they're doing is they're programming him with muscle memory up here. And you know what? After a while, Tom gets really good at it. And you know why he gets good at it? Because one of the things that they'll mention to him is you're going to get a marksman ribbon, Tom. That's going to be the incentive, the reward, the benefit on the other end. And you know, after a while, he gets really good at hitting that target downstream, as we say. And then what they'll do is they'll have the target start to move. And then what they'll do is they have the target pop up, and then you'll get even better. Next thing you know, Tom, you're one great marksman. And the reason that they have to do that with Tom is because as soon as they airlift him into a war zone, a hostile environment, then what's going to happen is the enemy is going to pop up in front of him. And with all due respect to Tom, if he has the opportunity to think, he's going to die. If he hesitates, if he takes one moment and looks in the enemy's eyes, he's going to die. So what they need to do with Tom is they need to teach him just instinctively, when the enemy pops up, you don't think about it, you just pull the trigger. It's called muscle memory up here. So whether it be muscle memory like this or muscle memory up here, every great salesperson has muscle memory. They all go on automatic pilot. Jeremy O'Neill was a great example, not a good example. You can't argue that point. So I know that you could take this stuff and you could start applying it to your life. I know that. I know that repetition over and over and over and over and over again, and you know what happens? When that phone rings, you don't even think about it. Believe me, you don't even think about it. You automatically smile. The phone rings, you smile. The phone rings, you don't even think about it. You reach in your pocket and pull out a pen. You don't even know why you did that. You're getting ready to take notes. I'm telling you the truth. You walk over to that phone, you got your pen in your hand, you're ready to take notes. You pick it up and you smile. You've already taken 3 deep breaths. You haven't even thought about it, and you've done that automatically. That's when you become no different than the people on the silver screen. That's when you become the great actor. Now, as long as you do it from your heart, and as long as you know that you really believe in helping people, then you're a blessing to the industry. So all that we can do at this point is hope that the material that we covered here met with your expectation, and we hope you take our suggestion and apply this to your life. If you do, believe me, you're going to see a change in your business. Your job's going to become a whole lot easier. Your income's going to go up, and you're going to have a lot more happy customers.
Hi, this is Bob again. I really do hope that you enjoyed what you just heard, and of course, I hope that it met with your expectation. Now, if you want to skyrocket your sales, and if you want to do it in the most affordable way, then you owe it to yourself to visit our website, because we have more sales solutions for the automotive professional than any other company on this entire planet, guaranteed. If you're looking for help with marketing, if you're looking to find and hire superstar technicians and service advisors, if you want to turn your existing employees into absolute stars, or if you're just looking to build a more profitable, successful business, well, I have some really great news for you. We can help you with all of those as well. To learn more about our industry-leading products and services in both English and in Spanish, visit our website at www.eliteworldwidestore.com. This is Bob Cooper of Elite, and I would like to say from the bottom of my heart, thanks again for your trust in us.
This entire audio program, as well as all the associated materials, are protected under both U.S. and international law. It is illegal to copy this program, in whole or in part, to electronically transmit it to a third party, or to use it for any commercial purpose outside of its intended use without the expressed written permission of Elite Worldwide. To learn more about Elite and the terms and conditions of the use of this product, please visit our website at www.eliteworldwidestore.com.